Welcome to the Ideal Network Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Ideal Network Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. The short version of the word ideal in Ideal Network stands for I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. And there's much more. Thanks for listening in and share this with the people that are most important to you. Now on to our show with Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. For all those people that might be unfamiliar with my voice, my name is Peter Mingles. I don't know if you could hear it in the background, but we have some dogs barking. And again, I don't know if you can hear any of that sort of stuff. But for those people that are wondering, you know, when you choose to work from home, what kind of background noise do you expect to hear? Well, hopefully, like kids screaming. You know, people knocking on the door that don't understand you're probably on a radio show. What else would you expect? Dogs barking, you know, cats meowing, cows mooing, snakes hissing, whatever it might be. Who the hell? That's supposed to be the noise that you hear when you're dealing with home-based businesses and working from home, as opposed to when you were, you know, or when you're working at an office, you probably hear different things. So anyway, so having said any or all of that stuff, it is a Wednesday. It's 5 p.m. Eastern time. We are here a couple of days before Memorial Day with a great friend of ours. Her name is always Darlene Sartori. So Darlene runs the Ideal Network. Let me shut off some of my telephones. So Darlene runs the Ideal Network. It's idealnetwork.biz. She's a great friend of ours. She was here for – actually, she was here even before Building Fortunes Radio was thought about. She's been a customer of ours for a super-duper long time. She's a wonderful, person. I met her shortly after her husband had passed away, where she was deciding what she was going to do, and she was rebuilding some stuff with the Ideal Network, and she's gone from, you know, maybe retiring to me throwing her back into making sure she doesn't, you know, for lots of different times. And we've been talking about everything from politics to family to the economy to what's going on with COVID and everything from addictions to all different kinds of things, education, like I said, voting. And I don't know what we're going to talk about today, but we're probably going to weave in the idea that there's three types of people and behavior out there. There's builders, maintainers, and destroyers. I learned that early on in my direct sales career, and it's something that I deal with every single day. So for the person that taught me that a long time ago, that was 30-somewhat years ago, I'm still using and applying the principles that I learned way back when because they actually fit and they work. So, Darlene, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Well, thank you for hosting us and letting us have a bully pulpit to talk about whatever is we're divinely inspired to share at the moment. So, yeah, you know, we talked to you, you just got through mentioning this dynamic of the builders and the maintainers and the destroyers. My question then is how do we get there? How do they become either one or more of the dynamics that we might bring into the conversation? And that kind of brings me to something that I've been working on today. Wednesdays is also the day that I work with a very dear appreciated person who has helped me to understand a lot about the Urantia Papers. I met him back in Evansville back in the 80s, and we've been a long time cohort as we've both grown in understanding, you know, what is it that the Urantia Papers are attempting to provide to this planet and to the universes that will help us to be better maintainers and builders and to be wise about when we decide to destroy something. And so I guess destroying can be value creative when we reach something that we say, wow, this is no longer anything that's working to provide us with desired results. So we may want to take action to remove that from our thought processes, from our decision-making tools, and et cetera. So I guess we have to always take our words and figure out what we're actually meaning. Most of the time when we say it's destroying something, we think it's not a wise thing to be doing. But then when we begin to realize that things do become obsolete, that if we are going to be a species that's going to maybe making the best ever better, that we have to really think hard. I use the word hard, and of course you think the opposite of hard is soft. So maybe that would lead to be, no, we really want it to be pleasant. Because when we think about English and we think about the languages that we use, we have a lot of words that we use often that get to be confusing. So one of the areas that I've really been working on and have become extremely sensitive in, as we have worked this past over a year now on a lot of Google Docs for this dynamic of creating an ideal civilization in which to live. In other words, an ideal universal society is what we've begun calling it. And as we have done that, we've done a lot of comparing. You know, what does this culture accept and what do they reject? And words that we've learned that we've replaced along the line. So I like to watch as we grow in this adventure of trying to make things as simple as possible, but not lose the grandeur of what we have to offer. And so today, our session which is 1 o'clock my time on a Zoom meeting with this group that's been studying the mind, and we've been doing this study now since August of last year. And we'll be probably continuing it on until at least the August of this year, because we really have delved deep and into this concept of mind and mind spirit. And we got into today, we talked about, and I've given you the mind spirits in the past, but I'll go ahead and list them again, because it's very, very important for you to understand that these are tools that you actually learn to utilize from the very beginning of your ability to use the brain and then the mind and other levels of our learning how to become a really advanced conscious species that's using the level of consciousness to very high expansions of time and space. And they talk about in the Urantia papers in paper 36, section 5, about the mind spirit. And they list 7 of them: the spirit of intuition, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of courage, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of counsel, spirit of worship, and the spirit of wisdom. And of course, as you begin to study these things, it seems that I mentioned today that it seems that as you gain the spirit of wisdom, suddenly there's this dynamic of humor and laughter that comes into looking back and saying our adventure has really been humorous on some of the things that we've let go. Some of the things that we have accepted in the past seem really ridiculous to us now. And if you start thinking about it for a few moments, you'll probably be able to think to yourself, oh, yeah, I see what you mean. There's things that we just really seem crazy right now that we did certain things like that back then. Well, the more that we ascend in our adventure and wisdom and this dynamic of understanding, well, today we talked about the spirit of counsel, counsel. And they talk about the, I say when they're talking about the social urge is the spirit of counsel, the endowment of species cooperation, the ability of will creatures to harmonize with their fellows, the origin of the graciousness instinct. So if we understand when we use the word G-R-E-G-A-R-I-O-U-S, graciousness, instinct among the more lowly creatures. I had to stop and say, what? I had to stop and really think about where does that come in with counsel? So that, of course, when I was doing my prep work for the session today, I went ahead and started doing something that I've been doing, of course, with the project that I'm working now, writing a chaplain's course. And I started looking into how many times and where does the Urantia papers use the word counsel in? Because their paragraph that went along with introducing this number five, the spirit of counsel, I must say was seriously lacking. Now, you have to remember that later in the paper, it explains a little bit more of these. But that made me stop and think, how often do we read something and it just go, we just go, duh. And then we finally figure it out. We then get the humor, the laughter. Okay, I get it. Now it's because when I'm working with my fellows, I'm harmonizing with what they're saying. Oh, that's what we're talking about when we bring things forward. We learn to accept and reject. So I started doing a list of the words that we might want to look into for this, what we would call information sharing, that helps us to learn how to be better builders, better maintainers, and wise destroyers if we go and destroy something because it's no longer functional or it is no longer viable. So that brought me to thinking about parenting and parenting skills. How do parents make a choice as to what they're going to teach their children? Okay, now, is that inherited or is that something you're learning fresh and anew? Well, if it's inherited and it's secondhand, is it still viable? So then I stumbled onto, in paper 127, the adolescent years of Jesus, talking about his parenting because one of the things I love about the Urantia papers is the in-depthness that it goes into about Jesus's life and on the planet as he was growing up. And in his adolescent years was when his mother actually began to really appreciate that her son had become an extremely valuable member of the family as a father brother, because the father had died when Jesus was early on in his life, and so there was a need for the other children, the younger children, and his mother to take on having an elder brother to help. And this is information that's left out of our teachings that have gotten passed down through the eons of time since Jesus was on the planet over 2,000 years ago. And so I really appreciate it when I find sources that give us a broader understanding of something. Because the more conscious that we become, the wider expression that we need to have of what we are talking about and using words in an expansive manner. And so as I started doing the word search, which then went around these dynamics that came out of this adjutant that we were talking about, this was one, and here's some words that I started searching today and expanding upon. One of the things I talk about is advice and counseling. And so I start using all the forms of advice, A-D-V-I-C-E, and then advise, A-D-V-I-S-E, because when you give advice, you are doing an advising work. And I started looking at how often when we use letters in our society of English, our language of English, is how often we misspell words because we don't realize that a word that starts out with being advice, you have to switch the C to an S to get the dynamic of who does the advice. And that's an advisor. And that has the letter S in it as the. And so I started looking again at how do we simplify what we are doing in our dynamics. Now, one of the things that it says in the Urantia papers is you never give advice unless it's asked for. And I think that's in there about 7 or 8 different times. Then I thought, well, you know, that's true. You usually don't seek out counsel or information from someone unless you are seeking it. And they usually, now in sales, y'all, people are out there trying to push their product. But the wise thing when you are making sales is that you are selling, looking for people to connect with people that truly are seeking what you have to offer. And then I began to realize what that definition using the social word in it for counsel. Aha, I get it. Because what we do is we connect people's needs with what we can provide. So an advisor, a counselor, a teacher, a parent, all of these roles that we take on in our life are usually providing something that somebody desires to have. And then I got to thinking about, you know, sales 101 and all the dynamics of what I'm going to do in order to market this dynamic of we need to have chaplains in our communities to go along. Remember that last week or the week before I mentioned that in our counties, we need to have our local sheriff, our local counselors, which would be chaplains, okay? And then we would have people that are also doing observation, and the coroner falls into that category. So there are 3 categories that we need to pay attention to in our electoral process, and I'm very much into this being an off-year election, but that's the year we are actually electing our sheriff and the coroner in our county. So as I got to thinking about how this agitated mind ties in with everything that we do as being a counselor, and being that has to be a really valuable agitant mind spirit that we have to have. So what I really didn't get when I first read the spirit of counsel, counsel, and read it as a social urge, the endowment of species cooperation, okay, the ability to will creatures to harmonize with our fellows requires that we have people that can teach us the skills of counseling. And so while I began to really work today, and so I invested most of today working on something that I'm talking about here, and it's starting to get the understanding of just how valuable it is to have good people that we can consult with. If we are getting ready to buy a piece of machinery, or a new process to use, it's always wise to have a list of people that we can go to and ask for their suggestions, their expertise on this, and what have they done in order to be somebody that I might ask for advice from. And, of course, Peter is one of my people that when I have something I want to know about, I always ask him first, because he has a broad array of things that I can draw upon for what I call the encyclopedia method of learning by levels of interest. What am I interested in? What do I desire to know about? And then who or where do I go to seek that information? Well, now we have this wonderful thing called the internet, and we have these search tools that we can search information. And the internet has also got its downside. It can destroy things, too. People have used it to be destroyers. So by having the dynamics, if you go back through this and you write down some of these words that I've thrown out here, they'll start you on a path where you can understand about information collection, information sharing, and how you might be a person who might qualify in your life experience to say, hey, I'd like to be a chaplain. I think helping individuals to make wise choices, especially during crisis time, would be a very valuable service. So can you see when you start thinking about your local sheriff, your local law enforcement people, your first responders on a scene of an accident or a scene of a tragedy? These are people that you hope that they've been well-trained in a great amount of skills so that they can do their job, their mission, their task, without really even thinking about it, because it's now second nature. They've done it so often. And so as we began to realize when we're especially getting older in our years and more wise, how often can you be a wise counselor to your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren, and all those around you? Someone like Peter, that's in the job that he works with as his role in society, how often does people come to him and ask him for a guidance, like, okay, what credit card service should I use? Printer should I use for this computer? I bought this computer. What one should I get? One that works with it, that was made by the same company, that might be in alignment with it better, or should I just buy the cheapest one I can find? So what are some of the things that we might look at in our life as we go through being advisors and counsels and wise parents and wise grandparents, because this is going to come up over and over and over and over again, especially the older and wiser we get from our experiences. People are going to be looking at us for experience. We're going to be like circuits allowing information to flow, and we're going to be doing advice and counsel more and more than what we realize that we will. Because if you've made a good connection with your family and your friends and those in your community, they're going to look to you more and more for counsel that you can provide. And you're going to find out that suddenly you start slipping into a role that you didn't really study for, but yet experience brought you into those roles. And you'll find people are more and more asking for your counsel. And now you can see that it's a social urge, that people naturally look at other people in their community and on the internet in their social realms for guidance for different things. So there's another word for counsel, is guidance. So how do you guide people? How do you counsel people? How do you inspire them to be able to be the best that they can? And how can you inspire them to laugh at themselves when they do things that just, gee, if I had known that, I wouldn't have done it. but I'm not going to beat up on myself. I'm just going to laugh at myself for, gee, I was just not that smart back then, but wow. Now I can show someone else how to be a counselor and a guide too. And what we find is what we're going back as a parent is what we've done along the way is help our children to start being those roles also. Now, one of the things that you've got to make sure of as you've done this is that you're not turning them into a destroyer. That means a bad one in a way that would be a bullying or criticizing, but instead be in a positive manner, a way that they can guide and help other individuals in a very positive, life-empowering method. And so as we begin to understand that when we can sit around and cuss and discuss, just as I've done here, I just rambled on about the different dynamics, plan, the script that I just read it because it had to be connected in such a way that you can see how easy it is that you can just start talking about a topic and all of a sudden you're bringing out things you didn't even realize that you knew. Whether it was inherited information, whether it was learned from another source out of a book or from your own experiences, suddenly you begin to realize you can expand your role. And more I'm running into more and more older people who say, you know, I've retired or I'm retiring from my quote-unquote J-O-B or my main career. I'm really thinking about what I want to do with the rest of my life here. And this is where I can take this information that I'm putting together on this topic of counseling and guidance for them to begin working with, especially with the young children who are not privileged to have a mother and father, maybe do as Jesus did, lost a father to early death. And so maybe you're going to see a situation where maybe you'll become a big brother, a big sister, where you'll be able to step into a role in your community as a chaplain or as a counselor of some sort. What are the things that you have learned along your life journey so far in your ascension career? What have you learned that other people might be interested in, quote unquote, even paying you for or making a contribution? Are bartering with you. So as you begin thinking as you go through life that you may not always have the same interests as an older person as you had with the young as a younger, but then again you might. But it's your adventure. It's our individual adventure that is so mind-bogglingly funny sometimes, and it's so, and that's what we love to do. We want things that are pleasurable, not painful. So, Peter, I've kind of used up my half hour rambling here. So everyone knows how to get a hold of me from the past, but I'll give out my telephone number now, 812-664-7419, 812-664-7419. So I'm back to you to wind it up, Peter.
Excellent information. So for those people that aren't familiar with Darlene, she does a lot of stuff with the local community, obviously with her family, obviously with she's done some stuff with the election state. She's over in the state of Indiana. And if you want to get in touch with her, make sure you call her, 812-664-7419. And if you want to get involved in any of the projects that she's mentioned, if you go to idealnetwork.biz, you'll see some stuff. But you'll want to definitely listen to previous radio shows that we've done on Building Fortunes Radio. You can go to buildingfortunesradio.com/ideal, or just reach out and talk to her, and she'll be able to plug you in wherever she can plug you in. So just great information, Darlene. One of the things that I want to talk about maybe next week as this starts to unravel a little bit is how maybe a local community and the local things that you do might have been able to kind of prevent something that tragically happened in Texas this week, just yesterday or the day, I guess it was just, because there were plenty of warning signs I know where if there was a local engaged community that was really watching out for each other, that knew that they needed to step in and interfere, they could have maybe prevented what horrible tragedy happened in Texas, because there were enough clues along the way to just say, listen, this is where the ball was dropped in several different locations. So for those people that just say, you know, that'll never happen around here, you could be part of that if you plug in and listen to some of the stuff that Darlene teaches. So with that, having said that, we're going to catch everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to the Ideal Network Radio Show on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear more segments with Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingle. Darlene encourages everyone to join the Ideal Network so you can say, I live the ideal life, where I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Darlene, Peter, and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word. Tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.